you've been busy, obviously. You made yet another tool, which is LGPO. Now, I'm going to try to set the stage a little bit here, all right? Because I might even just call you Mr. LGPO, because there seems to be this subculture in the group policy world. Like, there's the regular group policy guy, and then there's a subculture where this subculture wants to manipulate the heck out of local group policy objects, and you're their drug pusher. You figured out a way to keep feeding their need for this thing. You created a tool back in the day. What was that original tool called?
Yeah, there were a couple. There was Apply LGPO. Well, the first one was Set FDCC LGPO.
Yes. Okay.
And that would just take a fully baked set of this standard baseline created by the U.S. government and apply it as just this, black box hole, just bam, push it in.
Yeah.
I haven't touched that in a long time. I don't recommend anybody else do either. Then there was Apply LGPO Delta, which would allow you to apply individual settings to local policy, and Import RegPoll. So, LGPO, the main thing it does is it takes the functionality of those two previous tools and bakes them into one tool with a better user interface, and then it adds a bunch of other features on top of that.
Now, before we get to that, isn't there an intermediary tool called Local GPO that ships with the security configuration, security compliance manager?
Yes, there is.
Now, hold on. Here's the question, and I didn't ask you this anywhere else. Here's my question: true or false, that tool, the one that's in the security compliance manager, deprecated? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. That's the first. I figure, like, I'm plugged in and I get the memos. I have not heard that anywhere else, that tool has been shot in the head, and the only tool that you should use now is LGPO. Help me understand the story there.
So, Security Compliance Manager and the local GPO tool that shipped in it were owned by a team called the Solution Accelerators team, which was disbanded at the beginning of 2013. And there's been no one to update those tools. That's why if you run the local GPO tool, it's got these hard-coded version checks in it, and it won't run on anything after Windows 8 and Windows 2012, Windows Server 2012. As the tool has gotten older, and we have continued to release security baselines using SCM as a mechanism as the vehicle. But with each baseline, we turn up more bugs in the SCM tool itself. And there so far is no commitment to fix any of those bugs. So my own recommendation, speaking as Aaron Margosis and not as all of Microsoft, is we've been publishing security baseline content through the security guidance blog, blogs.technet.com/b/sec guide, SECGUIDE. And we've been delivering those as zip files that contain tools, including LGPO, spreadsheets and GPO backups, and you can do a whole lot with that. And that material represents the complete, accurate security baseline for Windows 10 and Windows 8.1 and 2012 R2 and IE11, etc. I personally recommend that over SCM. And one of the reasons for creating and publishing the LGPO tool is to fill in the gap that was left by the local GPO tool not being maintained.
Right. Okay. So let me repeat that back. Make sure I got it straight. You can just tell me if I've hit that mark. So SCM, the physical tool itself, is not quite dead, but it's kind of on life support. The vehicle is, in other words, it's being used specifically for updated baselines. The baselines keep coming out, but even your own recommendation is maybe those baselines aren't the best. You've got a different way for folks to get those baselines. And then once they get those baselines, the way to actually utilize them would be to use your new LGPO tool. Have I articulated that correctly?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know that life support is the right metaphor. I think it's I think the plug has been pulled and we're just waiting for it to stop breathing.
Okay, so it's worse than life support.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay, got it. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, there's a handful of tools for Microsoft that are not quite ever really supported with a capital S, and I think that's kind of one of them. It's sort of, it's, you know, sort of a support tool, so to speak, and you know, they need an owner, and your LGPO tool has you as the owner.
Yeah. So my personal belief about SCM is it has always, ever since its very beginning, it's always been a really great idea and a substandard implementation.
Right. Right.
So we do. You know, the baseline content is robust, and it's we believe in it, and we are seeing it deployed, and we recommend it. But the SCM tool is not the best way to get that anymore.
All right. Fair enough. So like I said, I kind of think of, like I said, group policy is sort of a two-headed thing or a two-tier structure. There's Active Directory-based group policy, and that's where most people want to make a wish and have 10,000 computers and users embrace that wish. And then there's this subculture, this sub-requirement of people who need to deliver stuff to the local machine without Active Directory, hence the need for this LGPO tool. Tell us why people, what's the scenario that this comes up so frequently that you've got all these tools around this?
Well, basically, you know, the smart people all do the Active Directory group policy, and then the rest of us who aren't smart enough to do Active Directory group policy or Active Directory in general, just stick, you know, hang out with the local computer and do stuff there.
Well, I know you're saying it tongue in cheek, but what's the, but there's
okay,
gotta
no,
be.
Seriously. So the reason for the local stuff is, the reason I got stuck in it several years ago was because of the United States government security baselines. And there needed to be a way to deploy these things on the machines that weren't domain joined, you know, standalone machines, and also because sometimes, you know, before you put stuff into Active Directory, you want to test it out and verify, you know, how it works. And local group policy is much easier to control than Active Directory group policy. So that's where these things kind of got their start. There's also a requirement in many places that, you know, when you're doing your MDT build, to bake in the baseline there so that before it's joined to Active Directory, security policy is in place. The mandatory security policy is in place. If it ever gets removed from a domain, the required security policy is in place. And again, standalone machines, kiosks, etc. There was just this gap where, you know, it was not really possible to manage local group policy, but there was a need. So I ended up working in that space and working on tools to do that.
Yeah, it's like I said, I sort of think there's car culture, there's motorcycle culture, and then there's what I've got a scooter. And this is scooter culture. LGPOs are like scooter culture. It's like they're out there, and I'm a scooter guy. So they're out there. But it's such an interesting corner case that I just wanted your perspective. And I think you have. I didn't realize that there was. I have heard, but I didn't articulate it in my brain that well. That there's that much of a need for getting those, some items pre-baked before they even walk out the door. You know, my feeling is, you're going to join it in 2 seconds anyway. But I can see a scenario where maybe you build it here, then you put it on a freight, you know, your cargo ship or something, and it goes across the sea, and you want to make sure that some things are on there, even if it gets stolen in transit. I could see that that's a possibility. Well, cool.
And again, like I said, for evaluation. So I'm working on security baselines all the time and want to test it out. And I can test it out on machines that aren't joined to anything. I can do it without having to put it into Active Directory group policy and affect a bunch of other machines, et cetera. It's, you know, just lightweight way to evaluate all this stuff.
Yeah, so like you get this guidance, and then you just, like, you know, make this machine eat it, see how it goes, and then if it goes well, you can then take the general gist of what you did and bring it into Active Directory and get it deployed to 10,000 machines or whatever. Is that the general gist?
Yeah, and in fact, that's what I did on my everyday work machine. I took the Microsoft baseline and applied it to local policy because I don't have any control over Microsoft's Active Directory.
Right.
But I could push all these settings in and see what the real world effects are of our security recommendations.
Cool. Now, I haven't played with your new LGPO tool, but I am very familiar with the version that shipped with SCM.
You're going to like this.
Oh, great. Tell me some of the things that it does the same and maybe some of the things it does different, better, or different.
Okay, so for anyone who used the older tools, those were written as non-console applications. So that, you know, if you type it at a console, the reason I didn't make them console apps is so that you could put them in through some type of startup script and not see a console window pop up. Now they're console apps, so you can see all the content if you want to. It now has the ability to, with one executable, you can apply individual registry.pol files to computer settings, to machine configuration, or to user configuration, apply security templates, advanced auditing settings, which I never covered before. It also has the ability to apply registry commands that you find in a registry.pol using a custom text format instead. You can point it at a GPO backup and say, apply this GPO backup, and it'll go find all the files and import them in. Gives you some control over GP extensions that show up in the gpt.ini file. So you can register things like the IE zone mapping extension and things like that. You can take registry.pol and parse it into what I'm calling LGPO text, and it just comes out to standard output. You pipe it to a file, and then you can edit it and import it back in a different way. It allows you to build a registry.pol file. So you can take that LGPO text, make some edits, and then use that to build a brand new registry.pol file. So it's like a registry.pol editor from a command line. You can also do a GPO backup. So I took that feature from the local GPO tool to create a GPO backup from the current local policy.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I like to, what I have said about the other tool, and it sounds like the same moniker would apply here, I used to call it the Swiss Army knife of local group policy objects, and it sounds very similar in terms of its raw capabilities. You've added a couple more blades and spoons and corkscrews to the ability. That's very cool.
And you know, the older tools kind of evolved, and so they got stuff bolted on that didn't quite make sense exactly. So now it all is more cohesive and makes more sense.
Great.
To my mind anyway.
You spearheaded these two new tools that are Microsoft funded, and they are group policy tools.
Yes.
So said another way, Microsoft is still pouring resources into the group policy ecosystem at large, including these tools and other areas. And the reason I bring that up is that people ask me all the time, hey, Jeremy, I'm so confused. I know there's SCCM and Intune and PowerShell and DSC and MDM and all this stuff. And what do you think's happening with group policy? Now, I've got a lot to say about that, but why don't I let you go first and try to just answer that as a general question about, you know, the lay of the land as it sits.
Okay, so Microsoft. So let's not try to pretend that Microsoft has one single brain that where all thinking is identical. You know, there's we have like 90,000, 100,000 employees worldwide, which means we've probably got 300,000 different opinions about any given idea. There are different ways to manage devices now. Group policy is the one that's been around the longest. It is the best way to manage domain join machines. But you know, there's other scenarios that are coming into play more often. For example, phones and other mobile units, bring your own device, etc., where you know, group policy can't apply. So Windows Phone, for example, doesn't have a group policy engine. So MDM is the tool for, or the interface for managing that type of a type of system.
And let me explain. And let me explain that to all of our listeners, because I think that's important. So said another way is that a device has a receiver on it that will receive directives. And let's just take a garden variety Windows desktop or laptop device. That device has a receiver to receive group policy directives. Everybody knows that. It has a receiver to receive, say, PowerShell directives. Everybody knows that. It could have a third-party receiver to receive directives, like, let's say, SCCM. That's a way to receive directives. And starting in Windows 8, but really picking up speed in Windows 10, is this new channel, another way to receive directives called MDM, which is a confusing moniker. It's called Mobile Device Manager, but really what it is another way to receive directives that could be unique or overlap with existing, say, group policy directives.
Yes.
Now, the Windows Phone doesn't have a group policy receiver, but the Windows desktop has a group policy and this new MDM receiver.
Yes.
And so what I think you're saying, and I think I'm saying the same thing too, is that for some scenarios where computers are not domain joined, the new MDM receiver that's in the box now for Windows 10 and in the box now for Windows Phone gives this ability to help with non-domain joined scenarios.
Yeah, that's one of the big scenarios where MDM makes a lot of sense.
So if MDM is great for these non-domain joined scenarios, actually, I might as well just put it out there. We're all friends here. Which to say, I know a lot of folks have investigated My Policy Pack cloud service, which will take real group policy objects and their contents and let you upload those to our cloud service and let you download real group policy data through the internet. And there's really nothing like that from Microsoft at all.
So what is the mechanism? Remind me what the mechanism is that when a client machine pulls down stuff from your service, how does it get applied into the system?
Our stuff, it's all smoke and magic.
No. Okay.
It's we do all XML stuff. So in other words, we take group policy data and make it XML, as opposed to if you were to try to, you know, do group policy through the internet for realsies, you'd have to do all LDAP calls and SMB calls in order to get that stuff down.
Got it.
For us, we don't have any of that. So we're able to decouple the group policy guts from the group policy mechanism, and therefore you're able to get real for realsies group policy through the internet using our cloud service.
Cool. So it ends up plugging into the same registry keys, registry values, things like that, the group policy engine would.
Yeah. All of it. So group policy preferences, all the security areas, everything.
Yeah. That's very cool. But yeah. I think that's kind of the same. Well, no, it's not really the same idea. It's maybe the same idea, but a very different implementation.
Exactly. Like, for instance, MDM is great if you want to turn off the camera on your Windows desktop and your Windows phone, but you can't deploy a shortcut on your desktop, and you can't do put a drive map on a machine. You know, that those kinds of things that you can only do with group policy, you can only do with group policy. And that's why group policy, I think, is the premier way of still doing domain join machines to make them the best they can be. And for non-domain join machines, well, now there's a couple of choices. I think Microsoft is got MDM, and their Windows Intune cloud service uses the MDM channel to deliver settings down. But it's not trying to be group policy. It's trying to be as lightweight as possible. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree. And there's also an intersection between stuff that you can only do through MDM, stuff you can only do through group policy, and the intersection of the two that you can do with either of them. That intersection is a subset. There's a lot of security policy you cannot apply through MDM. You can only apply through group policy or something like it.
That's right. The other piece of the puzzle, by the way, that we were able to do is We have a thing called the PolicyPack MDM Settings Manager, which will take all MDM settings and drag them backward into group policy.
Ooh, cool.
So if you don't have or want to subscribe to an MDM service like an Intune or an AirWatch or something like that, you can take all the things that you can do with MDM but we become, well, regular group policy becomes the vehicle to deliver those MDM settings.
Yeah. And then I also want to point out, going in the other direction, right? So we've talked about these, you know, little mobile devices, that there's another area where group policy is starting to be less important, and that is in the server area, server management, a lot of non-joined machines up there, and the increasing prevalence of desired state configuration, which is PowerShell-based. NanoServer is one example. NanoServer is going to be a very, very big deal. It does not have a group policy engine.
Right.
So DSC is the only way to manage that.
I like
so DSC. You've got DSC on the one hand, but you know the mobile devices don't have PowerShell, so they can't play in that space. So we're getting different ways of managing different types of devices and different scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different receivers for different boxes for different scenarios, and I think that that's an important takeaway for folks who are listening, which is, You've got a box and a scenario. What's the receiver that you're going to use? And with regards to group policy, if it's a domain-joined real Windows machine, that's the best intersection.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Great.